Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. This is Dennis Leap, host for Just the Best Literature. Thank you for listening in today. Last time, you heard my interview with Papa Assadou and Natalie Simpson, two actors from the Royal Shakespeare Company's current production of Hamlet. Today, you'll be listening to our Edstone students discuss their impressions of seeing the performance with me. I know you will truly enjoy our students' insights into the play Hamlet. I'm speaking to you today from the Edstone Radio Studios, and I have with me, it's really kind of exciting, I have with me some former students who are still senior students here at Edstone. So I have Emmanuel Michels with me, I have Justin Wainwright, Panay Tolis, and Rachel Culpepper. And we had the great experience of seeing the Royal Shakespeare Company production of Hamlet, and we did go together. Actually, Emmanuel and I went one night together, and I just had to see it again the second time, so I went the second night with Justin, Panay, and Rachel. So there's a lot of controversy going on over here about Shakespeare, and of course there's the Globe does productions, and the Royal Shakespeare Company does productions, and we'll talk about that as we go through this. So just to catch all of you up, as sophomore students with Shakespeare, they've read the play. Part of our curriculum at the headquarters campus is we do show them clips from the Branagh film of Hamlet. And so they're used to that. And now they've had a chance to see a live production. And of course, we're really doing all this for our listening audience because we want to encourage you to really read Hamlet and enjoy Hamlet. I know it's kind of daunting and kind of scary, but these lovely people here have gotten through it and they liked it. And so I just want to maybe just let someone grab the mic first and just tell me, what did you think when you saw Hamlet live in terms of just the words of the play? What did it impact you more seeing it live? Or did it impact you the same as when you saw it in the Branagh film? Just let me know what you think. And we'll talk about some of the other things, the way they produced it as we go here.
Yeah, I'm thankful that I had the chance to read Hamlet before, and having seen that film that you talked about earlier, it really did help out. But then going and seeing it live was a lot different. And it's just absolutely amazing that, you know, these people that are able to perform this, they're able to memorize all these lines, and at the same time, you know, Hamlet, he's being thrown down on the ground, yet he's still reciting these things that he's learned, and it's so impressive. So I'm really glad that I got to see this live, and it has really just helped out reading it before, and it made a huge impact on me.
I think being able to experience the play in three stages, first reading the book, then seeing the Branagh film, and then the play, it really actually just made it come alive, because you read the words first, you kind of meditate on that, try to figure out what that means, then you see the movie, so then you get an idea. And then when you go see the play, then it's like in your face, in person, and you actually just get like the feelings that they're feeling, and they really just did a great job of the emotion and all of that behind it. So I think the stages we experienced was helpful more than just seeing or reading it.
The thing that I really believed is, you know, of course, I was really impressed with this Branagh film for years. And of course, my wife and I had seen it when it first came out, and we just thought, wow, this is it. This is the way to see it. But once I was in the theater, and of course, I had studied a little bit ahead of time, so I knew it was going to be more of a black and with an African theme, which I think is, again, it's appropriate. I'm not sure I agree with absolutely everything they did or the way they did it. But it's true. Hamlet is for every man, and he does ask the questions that every man asks, and even I think Ophelia asks all those questions, and she's in a situation that a lot of women get caught in. And but the thing is you see it in living dimension on stage. And I have to admit that some of the, you know, when I watch the Branagh film, you can feel bad for Hamlet and you can feel bad for Ophelia. And even you can even feel bad for Polonius, even though, you know, Shakespeare has him painted to be the fool. But when you see it happen, you realize that Ophelia is, you know, Polonius's daughter, and you have this reaction. Then when she literally does go mad and is in such a frenzy because there's so much happening in her life, I actually was moved to tears. It brought me to tears even the second night I saw it. And the same with Hamlet. I mean, he's this very intelligent character, and he's so cerebral, and he's analyzing everything, and he wants to do it just right. But then his emotions take over, and he does he murders Polonius, which really hurts his, hurts Ophelia, just crushes her. And so you can really see, and I was thinking about, okay, what about the 16th century audience that was actually looking at these, that they had to be just as impacted as we were. And so I did think that was really quite interesting. So Manny, let's weigh you in on this. What did you think when you saw it?
Well, after seeing it, I certainly felt like really excited to read the book again, because it just added the story flow, which by reading the first time, I guess being a foreigner as well, didn't really connect in my mind all the text and different, you know, sequences. So having seen it and knowing what the story is about and how the scenes are acted out and listening to it, it's just easier to understand as well. I felt like it really made me excited to read it again and to really see, you know, how the story flow comes together.
So Manuel is from Germany, but he is really doing very well. He had to learn English to be able to come to college, and so then to put him in a situation where he's reading Hamlet, you know, it's a challenge for anybody that was raised with English. But one thing I noticed, and I don't know how you felt about this, but now I've had a lot more experience with it just because I have to read it, you know, each semester and then prepare and you catch things. But it just seemed like it was very natural to me. It's like I really understood it a lot better. And actually things became clearer to me when I saw the expressions in their faces. There's that one line that Ophelia makes, you know, right before she commits suicide, as she says, we know what we are, but we don't yet know what we could be. And I'm not sure I'm getting it exactly right. But to me, that was like a moment of sanity, because isn't that really the story of our life? We know what we are. We're human beings. You know, we know we have consciousness. We know animals don't have consciousness. And there's a lot of people out there saying, look, we know what we are, but you know, what's next? You know, what can we be? I think that's one of the best lines in the play, but I didn't actually hear that until I saw it, you know, at the theater. I mean, we've been through that many times. I think sometimes there is a focus. It's kind of like an inordinate focus on, well, it's Hamlet, 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 and you focus on that. But Shakespeare was a genius. He wrote really interesting things into all the characters. So I think there is something to be said for, you know, seeing a play. Now, I've seen a lot of, you know, Shakespeare in the Park, but when you see a real professional company do it, as long as it's not too outlandish, it's really quite interesting. The thing I might just say for our listening audience is that this production by the Royal Shakespeare Company, it was nearly an all-black cast, and there there was African influence. In other words, the king and queen are like an African king and queen. And but there was also some modern upgrades where, you know, with the soldiers guarding the palace at Elsinore, you know, they had Uzis and they were in military dress. So, I mean, that's just really trying to upgrade it for a modern audience. But there was this more of an African theme, and any dramatic scene, they use these powerful African drums, and it really did accelerate the drama. Like, you knew this was something really dramatic. But Hamlet, when Hamlet goes crazy, for all those of you who maybe know the play, but we actually will be covering this when we're reading it. But there's a large part of the play, he actually feigns madness. And then for a while, he does become mad himself. And then he, towards the end, he comes to a certain amount of sanity and realizes that there has to be this divine guidance to solve the mess that he's in. But in this play, Hamlet, who is black, I actually had the chance to interview him, and he's from Ghana. But in the play, when Hamlet goes mad, he becomes like this, crazy graffiti artist and is, spreading graffiti all over the palace of Elsinore. And so, again, I think the whole idea behind that was just to attract a younger audience. And, there is a black culture, and they do want to attract them to it. But one thing I do want to say is, in terms of praising the Royal Shakespeare Company is I did bring my book with me. And I was checking certain scenes, and they really did stay true to the words. I mean, when you were hearing the soliloquies, you heard full soliloquies. Now, even in the Branagh film, they had to cut some things out. And then, of course, he added a bunch of things. So how did those words impact you? When there we are sitting in there, although when it's dark, we kind of get a little sleepy. So how did the words impact you? Maybe you could say what words impacted you the most that maybe it didn't impact you as much before when we had it in class or when we saw the film. Go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, I was really impacted seeing it live, especially when they asked those deep questions. I forgot what scene it was, but he was talking about, what is man or what am I to be here? And when he was talking about this, you could really see how the Bible was really influencing Shakespeare in his writings and how he was using literal scripture from the King James and putting it together. And it really just really stood out, and when he asking those big questions like why is this all happening or why am I here?
Yeah, I think that's really good. That's it. It's very good comment. I agree with Manny. The scene you're talking about is when Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, the parents are really trying to figure out what's going on in his mind, and actually his former uncle, now his stepfather, Claudius, is really trying to figure out how much does he know and what's he planning, because Claudius is guilty. Everyone knows he's guilty. Claudius knows he's guilty. He admits he's guilty. And so he's trying to kind of figure out where Hamlet's going next. Is he going to have to kill Hamlet, kind of thing? But then that's when he has this real revelation in front of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and says, what a piece of work is man. How like an angel, how noble in reason and all that. And so that's what Manny's bringing out there. And I agree with Manny that I could almost, in my mind's eye, see David asking those same questions. And, of course, that's from Psalm 8, and we know David wrote that psalm. So go ahead, next one. What words impact you, Rachel?
For me, it was when Claudius was... when he was praying, and in the play that we saw, Hamlet is holding a gun to his head behind him, and so you see the tension between, well, obviously Hamlet and Claudius, but you don't, like, Claudius doesn't know. But when he's praying, there's this cross in front of him, trying to just show how, for a brief moment in time, he was religious, or at least trying to reconcile with God about what he had done in his past, and I think the fact that they cut it off right before Hamlet made the decision whether to shoot him or not, and that was halftime in the play, and then, you came back, and then the lights flicked back on, and it's the same thing, and then Hamlet decides not to. He walks away, and then the actor that was playing Claudius, he said, my words fly up to heaven, but my thoughts stay down below, or whatever he said. The fact, he just said that so, flippantly, and so it really just gave the, it really showed how... just human nature is just, it's like for a brief second, you're actually sorry, or human nature is sorry. But then you're well, I really just still want what I want selfishly. So no. And so he just stood up and walked away. And so you really just, I think that impacted me at least. It just shows human nature to the fullest extent.
Yeah, it was really good. I know that we were sitting, the first night we were sitting up on the top, the upper level. And it was really kind of surprising to me that some people gasped when they shut the lights off because they didn't know if he was actually going to kill him or not. And I thought, well, man, they're seeing this for the first time. And all of us in there, we know the story. There's no spoiler alerts necessary because we know the end. And, you know, my wife looked at me and says, are they changing the play? You know, are they actually going to kill him? And I said, no, they can't do that. They won't do that. But it was really pretty dramatic. I agree with Rachel on that. But it is, the whole thing with Claudius is really sad because I think he is. He does realize he killed his brother. He does realize he's in a wrong marriage. He realizes the impact. By that time, Ophelia's really had her problems. I mean, he's really the fault for all of the mess. But then he says, hey, I want to repent, but I don't want to give up the queen. I don't want to give up the throne. I don't want to give up the power. And then, as Rachel said, he gets flippant and says, well, sorry, I'm going to keep going on. So,
I felt that that really impacted me the most from watching the play is that entire perspective. It's just how one thing he murdered. It was a huge thing, but he murdered his brother, and then a series of all these other things had to happen, and a lot of people's lives were just ruined in this tragedy from that decision, you know. And it was just amazing because I think it shows that, you know, when people make decisions, whether or not they're good decisions or bad decisions, there are always repercussions for other people, not just for the individual who's making the decision. So, you know, Claudius made the decision to kill his brother, and then because ultimately his goal was to be king, right? And so then he became king, but through marrying his wife, and then he caused Hamlet all this grief, and then Ophelia has struggled with it, and then Polonius gets murdered, and then people go mad, and so then everything's going crazy in Denmark. And I mean, obviously, things are there. It's just like things aren't always perfect to begin with, but it's just amazing. I think for me, that's what came out in the play. It's just like one thing happened, a huge thing happened, but everyone suffered for it. Everyone in the play, everyone's lives in the play, the characters had to really suffer for it. So
it's really clear. I think it also shows that there's international implications, especially when you're at the government level. Now, in our lives, I mean, we're the little peons and, you know, we're the little plebes, I guess you could say that. But I think Shakespeare's genius was that he, some people have complained just mildly to me, well, we don't want to read Hamlet. Why are you picking Hamlet? You know, it's like everyone dies at the end. But I think that's part of Shakespeare's genius is that he makes it so apparent. Well, it's to like draw the spotlight on this attention. I think that's what he does in Hamlet. And like people say, why do all these people have to die at the end? Well, I think Hamlet is trying to show there can be really tragic repercussions by every decision we make. And it just, I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. But I think in the play, every character realizes they made a bad decision. But they don't stop making bad decisions. They keep making bad decisions, thinking they can fix it. And it just gets worse. And who comes out on top at the end? Fortinbras. And so he gets the kingdom back that actually old Hamlet took from his father. He doesn't have to fire a shot because these people destroyed themselves. Maybe let's just go. Anybody else have any other impact? I mean, Hamlet's soliloquies, I waited for everyone, and I clapped at the first night. I clapped at everyone, and I was telling the two actors the next day, I said, I'm sorry, the soliloquies were so good. I clapped at everyone, and they said, that was you? They said, would you do that again if you come back? Because that was great for you to do that. You know, I'm sure they need to get feedback. I'm sure their producers are all listening to see what the audience reaction is. So anything else on that angle? We'll take a little different angle now. So have we done with that, do you think? Impacts? If you have some more, we can interject. But go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, I thought it's always interesting to see when with a Shakespeare play, especially in this one, how he always draws the attention to the big and the deep question. Like he's wondering, like, what is this, you know, the reason for that? Like there's a lot of religious theme, you know, about purgatory at the beginning and the ghost, like, and then, you know, all those decisions that he needs to make, you know, should he kill him if he, like the scene that we were discussing earlier, should he kill the king now, or should he leave it until he, you know, because he's now in a repentant state. So he said all those questions that he has and doesn't know an answer to. So he's always bringing back those questions, like, and showing that like there is a deeper meaning or a deeper things behind the scene.
Yeah, he doesn't let up on us, does he, in that play? I mean, if you're really paying attention to the words, and as Royal Shakespeare Company does really work hard to preserve the words, he really is driving a point home. Yeah. And it is kind of, even as Manny said before, he does borrow a lot on Scripture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course there are some religious things in there that I wouldn't necessarily agree with. I don't think they're necessarily supported by the Bible, like the idea of purgatory. But that's obviously not the discussion we're going to have today. But, but he does bring up the big question is there a spirit world that has influence on our physical lives? And that's the big thing that he really struggles with, is this ghost from heaven or is it a demon from hell? And he said, he even makes the line in the play, if he's a demon from hell, maybe he's trying to condemn me or get me damned. And so those are the big questions I still think are number one questions on a lot of people's minds. Like, what's really going on? And then he's wanting to commit suicide, but then he says, well, if I commit suicide, what's going to happen on the other side? If there is this spiritual life that we're going on to, what does that mean for me if I commit suicide now? And then he calls that the undiscovered country. You know, the next life is the undiscovered country that no one's come back for. And of course, we all know Star Trek, you know, borrowed the title for, you know, one of their famous movies from that. So, but there are it's the big questions in life. Like, is there a purpose to life? And you know, what is that purpose? And you know, so those were on Shakespeare's mind, and that's what makes Shakespeare so. I think he's still up to date today because a lot of people ask those questions. Now, you know, I do feel that the Bible does answer those questions if you're ready to study it. And there is this incredible future ahead, and it doesn't have to end up in tragedy. Go ahead, Rachel.
Since you brought up the whole perspective of Shakespeare borrowing a lot from the Bible, it's actually just thinking about it after I saw the play, and it's might not be completely 100% true, but if Shakespeare did obviously know about the Bible, and he was obviously trying to get across this idea of just the longevity of human nature and these big questions and the questions that every man asks. And I think he, if he did know anything about the Bible, which we all think he does or did, then I think it's not a coincidence that, like Panay said, the main tragedy that he revolved around in Hamlet was the fact that a brother killed a brother. And if Shakespeare did know something about the Bible, then he would have gone back and he would have seen that, like, the one big thing that really shook the world, obviously, after Adam and Eve in the garden was the two brothers on earth, first one killed the other. And I feel like maybe it's a possibility that Shakespeare saw this and he saw that had something to do with the way all man has gone and the human nature in all men and just vanity. And that's actually just the whole purpose behind Hamlet. It's just vanity and human nature. And it's just the theory, but.
Well, I think it's true. I think he did, because he does say, you know, if you remember that when Claudius is trying to repent, he's looking at his hands and he said, this is the foul, you know, the foul murder, a brother murdering a brother. I think even Claudius is thinking of, you know, Cain and Abel. And of course, remember this is the 1600s is the same time when this very famous King James authorized Bible is put into full production, and it's some of the best language in the world. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, we just don't like reading Shakespeare, we can't understand it. And I've asked them, well, do you have a King James authorized Bible? And they said, yes. Do you read it? Well, yeah, I read it regularly. I said, well, it's the same thing, you know? So don't give Shakespeare such a bad deal. You know, he borrowed from it. But it's true that there are these concepts in there. And really, how do you explain this world? It went bad from the beginning. and it hasn't gotten better, and all these people are out there trying to find all these ways to fix it. If we just do this, it'll fix it. And what happens? It gets worse. I mean, even the American political campaign this year, I mean, I'm not into politics. None of us are really into that. But no matter how hard they try and fix it, what happens? It's just getting worse. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people that I have friends and family that don't believe as I believe, and they're scared because they don't see any solution. And I think Hamlet can seem that way. And I think what Shakespeare was doing, he's just giving another side of it. So, okay, that's my thoughts. So any last-minute thoughts? We have about 4 minutes. Go ahead, Rachel.
I think anyone who hasn't read Hamlet should definitely give it a chance out of anything Shakespeare wrote, just because it's just so intricate. And the lessons that you can learn from it and take away from it is they're multiple. Like, there's not actually just one. And so if you just want to, like, learn about human nature or learn about anything that actually happens in everyone's lives, Hamlet's a really good, really good choice just for learning lessons for yourself.
I think it's true. Manny?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would say that it's a very unique opportunity to really learn to think deeply, because it's such a lost art in this world. We heard about that this beginning this year at college, how important it is to really, deeply think about things and to really, like, ponder about it and not just go through the motions day by day. And it really is something that Hamlet or Shakespeare did, and you can really see it acted out in his plays and in his writing, how he was thinking deeply and had those big questions, and he didn't just go through the day-to-day motions without ever asking them.
Well, I just want to thank you for coming in today. Thank you for going to the Shakespeare play with me. I got to see it twice. Yeah. Again, it's very good. So you heard it. You heard it from Ed Stone. You've got four students telling you, read this play. It'll be good for you. So we're just very happy they were here. And again, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hopefully our students' comments are getting you all charged up to read Hamlet. If you have not yet done so, we will begin our panel discussion of the play really soon. But next week, I have a very special program for you that I was able to tape just outside the Globe Theater in London. Remember, just after our discussion of Hamlet, we will begin our discussions of Richard III. If you have any comments on these Shakespeare programs, please email me at jbl@pcog.org. Look for announcements and information on Hamlet on Twitter at jbliterature1. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.